You can get consolation from all sorts of falsehoods, but because it's consoling, it doesn't mean it's true.
No, there are a lot of very religious scientists around.
Science. There is no evidence for any kind of supernatural being of any
kind. You think people should not have a choice of what to do with their body?
Anti-murdering the unborn.
And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need
But why should I believe?
Well, because it's the truth.
Say you see the Christian family. You're like, oh, it's a dad. You know, he's a great father, loves his wife. They got great kids. They raised them as what they are, what they were assigned at birth. And you look at that family and they grow up and they save their money and they're good with their finances. They care about other people. And then you see the family that has like shaved head, blue hair, three moms in the family. I literally just flew with somebody. Three moms. Three moms.
Is it polyamorous?
Anyways.
Well, no, explain.
Here's a situation. Okay. Living with ex-girlfriend as a girl. So girl living with ex-girlfriend who is now with her new girlfriend. So okay. It's three girls living here. And now... they have children together. So they're all three in the same house. And then she is dating a guy and his wife at the same time.
Wow. So
and that's
six
like
people? That, wait, no.
Well,
five
yeah, but
people.
By like proxy, like these people aren't like with those people.
I got you.
But it's like that's kind of the modern person you look at, and kids are growing up in that environment. And then it's like the Christian family's like, yeah, I would think if you're somebody like my friend Jack, you would look at that and say, okay, I'm a Christian now. Like, that's it. That's a final straw.
Yeah, you would almost think by
like,
reason your way into it.
Yeah, at least, like, Christianity says this is bad.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the greatest arguments for God is the evidence for, like, the demonic influence and depraved mind of mankind.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that, it's like seeing the absence of God, what it does, it's like, there's got to be a God out there.
Yeah.
Something that's not this. That doesn't produce this.
Like, I think now it just, I think there was a time where you could probably walk around America and not know who the Christians were and who the non-Christians were. But today, I'll know really quick if you're a Christian or not.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Really quick.
Yeah.
I've had single conversations with somebody where we didn't get into anything crazy. And I was like, are you a Christian? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I knew it because you weren't a total freak. You weren't swearing constantly. You weren't talking about having sex with 1,000 different people.
Right.
Like, oh, you were a normal person from 30 years ago. It's like, yeah, you got to be a Christian.
Oh, this is what I thought about earlier. I meant to say is, you know, Christians are described as the salt of the earth. And I think that you can survive a long time on the salt until there's not enough of it. Like, we are surviving on what Jordan Peterson always says, like, the corpse of Christianity. Like, the corpse of religion, you can feed on that for a while and get some moral truths until you've eaten it all and there's not enough Christians left. And then those people don't have that salt in their communities anymore. And there's no accountability for the insanity, and it's game over. And it happens quick. It's one generation.
All
of a generation that lives on the corpse, and then they've eaten the corpse, and then it's madness. And that's what's coming.
Well, I think we're already in madness. But it's weird because you do have, like, I think another generation with technology where everybody's exposed to everything and it will be complete. But we had situations like we grew up in pockets and there was pockets everywhere. So we grew up in a very Christian pocket where it was like our family was Christian. We were homeschooled with other homeschool families who were Christian. And it was kind of like a pocket of Christianity. I feel like there's a lot of pockets like that all over. And there was some that grew up probably pretty opposite of that. But now, because everybody's exposed to the same things, and it's kind of like this, everybody is constantly getting trans and just immoral stuff pumped into their brain all day. Everybody is. Everybody in the U.S. I think a generation after this, it's going to be game over. There won't be anything left.
Yeah. We can be sure about religious truths. So the other one was we can be sure about moral truths. we can be sure about religious truths?
Again, it'd be the same thing. It would be, okay, yeah, if you have the faith to believe in Jesus, and then you don't have to, then yeah, you can believe everything else. You can buy into everything else.
Yeah, and that's what I come back to with the Bible. It's like, what were, if you're looking at that evidential explanation, it's like, what is the evidence for Christ? What do we see there historically, biblically? Do we see evidence within the Bible itself that like that couldn't be the case or the contradictions? It's like every claim on that that I have studied rigorously, that I've seen people bring up to me personally and I've seen online, it's like none of those hold any water. And the evidence for it extra biblically strongly supports this. So, okay, I can be sure about these other religious claims within the context of these other things that we know for sure are true. We can be sure are true.
I agree with you. But when you looked into those things, you were already knew they were false.
Yeah, before you even biased, but before you investigate.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, okay, let's say you investigated enough before you were an actual Christian to have some feeling of what was going on and you bought into it. And when you bought into it, you said, I accept this. And then once you did that, then you just accepted everything else.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, you can. That's what you do.
Okay, some of these we did talk about. Truth is not relative, but absolute.
Yeah.
Right. All truths exclude their opposites.
Yeah.
Truth is
That's what I was trying to get at with that earlier one.
Yeah,
that was
but you were saying all opposites.
Well, no, I was saying
promote their truth, basically.
No. I was saying by looking at the opposite,
you can determine the truth.
You can determine the truth that the opposite is false. Is all I was saying.
If you have the direct opposite, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So there is no truth.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying.
Oh, that's self-collapsing, so that means there has to be a truth.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying about like the polyamory and the craziness of society now. It's like, God's real, man, because he ain't that. Like, yeah. I know that's wrong. Even though when a Christian, it's like, this is not right. Killing babies in their mother's womb, this is wrong.
Let me ask you this.
The opposite of this is right.
Let me ask you a tough question.
All right.
This could be a whole podcast.
Still got a few questions.
I feel bad about asking this because I don't...
All right, we're back. We had a little bit of a hiccup there. All right, so Joe's question was, maybe you want to rephrase it for me?
Rephrase or just re-say it?
So basically...
Let's say all knowledge of anything, you've got new people on the planet, same planet, but there's no, like... There's nothing written. Could people just come to the conclusion of the God of the Bible?
The God of the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of things we could verify in the absence of revelation. That gets pretty tricky.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of revelation that gives us specifics. I think general things you could know is that there is a God.
Yeah.
Because there's a creation. I think if you studied the cosmological evidence, you would understand that there was a beginning to the universe, that the setup of that explosion, expansion, or whatever created a very specific conditions for life to be able to exist. And I think if that's the case, then that God is a personal God because he made very specific personal decisions. If you look at the ratio of how, like, the size of a proton to the size of an electron, how the size and mass and charge difference exist, if it was not very, very finely tuned, like, it's very specific, it's slight variance, atoms can't exist, you can't have molecules, you can't have people, you can't have anything, because you can't have matter. So if you look at those things, and there's 100 others examples of things like that, gravitational constant, all those things, very personal specific decisions had to be made for those conditions to exist, for life to exist. So I think you would know there is a God, and he has made some very specific personal choices that is giving us grace. You're not going to come to Christ. You're not going to come to those specific conclusions without revelation. But
would
you're going
to
get
to any
theistic,
kind of moral,
any kind of moral principles. I think if you know that you were made with a personal decision from this creator, then there should be a right and a wrong way to exist. knowing that there was very specific designs and intentions for things. You would at least know that there's like, okay, the way my body functions, all these multiple organ systems, there's a very specific intelligence and a very specific design for how this should function. There should be a very specific way I should function too. As a whole.
And I think
you come to those same things.
Well, I think there's, okay, so we were talking about before, atheists can't know that murder's not, like, they can't come to the conclusion that murder is wrong, like, as a moral wrong. But I think inherently, nobody has to tell us murder is wrong. You know it's wrong with you when you hurt somebody else. It's inherent.
Right.
And an animal doesn't know that. An animal's not going to feel bad when he kills his prey and eats it. But inherently, I think we know good from evil.
So do
I think
that's...
Adam and Eve inherently, when they ate the apple, they inherently knew right from wrong.
So they already knew evil.
Yeah.
Before they ate of the tree.
No. I'm
knowledge.
Saying they ate the tree and then they had the sin
okay,
nature.
I got you.
But we know when we're doing something wrong.
Yes. So do you think that's what makes us made in the image of God? Being able to make a moral choice? Versus animals that can't.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I would say that and creativity.
Yeah, I think a lot of things, though. Like, Okay, God creates. It's like man wants to create. God wants to be, he's very relationship, relational. And we're very relational creatures. Like, even the guy who tried to run away from everything, Chris McCandless, and just be on his own in Alaska, he wrote, happiness is not real unless it's shared. And this is a guy who, like, lived, his motto is get out in the wild, blah, blah, blah. And then he came to the conclusion, like, we're relational creatures.
Yeah.
I think God is.
To fellowship.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of things in that image of God.
That's interesting, too, because that very much supports, just from an observational perspective, or I guess an inherent heart status, the idea of a Trinitarian God. You know, it says, let's make man in our image. And there's that fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Does the Jew Bible, the Torah?
The Hebrew Bible? Well, that's what Bible is translated from the same.
True, but would they say, let us
Would
make,
they translate it
yeah,
that
would
way?
They translate it that way?
I would think so. I would think most of the translation of the Old Testament is consistent with how the Jews would have rendered it.
So would the Jews have said that there's a...
No, they don't believe in the Trinity.
So obviously. How do they explain that? They
would probably say angels and other heavenly beings in our image. I haven't looked into it.
But then the rest of the Old Testament says in God's image. Like it says man was created in God's image. It doesn't say.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic. Yeah, what are we even talking about?
All right. Truth is invented, not discovered.
Thoughts.
Truth is not transcultural.
Yeah, truth is transcultural.
Right. But see, truth that's a big thing we see now.
Truth doesn't care about your feelings.
Is you think it's wrong to walk around naked, but that's just what their culture does.
Rachel.
Oh, no.
Are you Rachel? Yeah, I got to quit name dropping people in this.
Yeah, you get very, very personal, man. I knew I brought a loose cannon on my show. I didn't know how loose this cannon was.
Man, they don't listen to you anyway.
All right. Okay, truth can change.
Then how is it true?
Okay, Mormonism in a nutshell. Truth can change, right? I mean, there's not a clearer one sentence summary of Mormonism.
Do they say that?
The prophet's new revelations.
Mm.
The priesthood changing major things about their religion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, wow. Belief, have you seen the FLDS documentary on Netflix right now?
I don't watch documentaries, bro.
Well, then we won't get into that, I guess. Well, basically, like, it's a small...
It is rare,
like,
for me to pick up a documentary.
Oh, it's really interesting.
I watched What is a Woman.
That's a great documentary.
Should we review that?
We should do a review of that. Well, I got to get you on my podcast more. I feel like this flows really well.
Thanks.
Name-dropping personal people we know.
It's not like I'm trying to hurt their feelings or anything, but it's just like they fit the description. Like,
walking Nathan, around naked.
Well, when I picture Nathan looking at society today, I would think he would lean Team Christian.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. I don't get it.
That surprised me about a lot of people, actually.
Like, Patton does.
Yeah.
He sees the insanity of the world, and he's like, no thanks. What's not this?
Yeah.
But anyway, go on.
Belief cannot change a fact.
True.
Transgenderism in a sentence.
True.
Atheists have faith.
True. We talked about that.
All truths are absolute truths.
Truth is absolute truth.
If something's true, is it absolutely true?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But your personal truth is not absolute truth.
What if I say I feel warm down here? Is that absolute truth?
Are you being truthful and honest?
Yes.
Then yeah.
Right. It's absolutely true that I feel warm.
Yeah. If you doesn't mean it's warm in the room. To me.
Right. It doesn't mean it's warm in the room, but it's absolutely true that I feel warm. So it gets a little, you can make it go in some interesting ways. Large amounts of evidence will convince even those who are unwilling to change their mind.
No, not at all. People saw Jesus heal a guy with a crippled hand and didn't think, oh, wow, this guy's legit. Like, he might actually be who he claims he is. He's the Son of God. No, they immediately started trying to kill him.
And those are the kinds of things, and I say this all the time, it's these weird little things like that that give me so much faith in Christianity.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
You know,
because you look around today and these people with their opinions, they don't care what the facts say.
Yeah.
They don't care at all.
If I was making up a religion, I would have this person doing miracles and everybody believing and be like, whoa, like, because that shows that he really did it, right? Yeah. But it's like, no, they're really documenting what actually happened. And that's probably what would actually happen.
For example, like, do you think these people who promote transgender ideology for their own political gain or social gain? Or social gain.
Yeah.
Do you think these people give a crap that they're mutilating people's bodies for life and taking a mentally disturbed person who has a mental problem and ruining their life and patting them on the back and be like, oh, yeah, just... Oh, it's great you're doing that. Let's go to the operating table and mutilate you for life. That's irreversible. Do you think they give a crap that they're doing something like that to all these people? No, they don't care. They don't. In the face of facts and truth, they do not care.
So you think they know better?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do.
So I guess what comes out
you're giving them way too much credit as like a nice person. To think that they don't know.
Yeah.
They know.
Which comes to a very scary realization of how dangerous.
Yeah, and deprived these people are.
Yeah. How evil.
Yeah. It's evil.
And we had.
You think the BLM person really believed everything they were saying and then took all that money and went and bought the mansion?
Right, yeah.
Or do you think they really were just using it? Or do you just think they were using it to get ahead?
Yeah. Maybe a little of both. Sometimes
some of the people on the ground, I'm sure they believe.
Yeah, I think a lot of higher up people. Yeah, are
a lot of higher up people they know.
Yeah,
anybody with an IQ over like 75.
Careful.
Here
comes the loose cannon.
Is gonna be able to tell me what a boy and a girl is.
Yeah,
but yet you're in Congress and you don't know.
No, you have to be a biologist. Biologist. This is funny. I tweeted
you're
this.
You're going to be trying to get on the Supreme Court and you can't tell us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tweeted something. Actually got a little bit of traffic. Most things I tweet get no likes or retweets. But I'm doing my master's in biology. So after all that stuff had happened, I put, maybe after I finish my master's in biology, I'll know what a woman is. But right now, I just don't know. I haven't finished my master's. It may be a doctorate level thing, you know, when you get there in that PhD.
This is very Matt Walsh of you.
Yeah, definitely. I regret. I almost deleted it. I was like, this is coming to bite me somehow.
Oh, that's something I was thinking of. Are you done with the questions?
No, I have quite a few more. But
really? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, coming back to the large amounts of evidence will convince even those. Well, I don't want to go there. King James onlyism. But I'm not going to go there. Agnostics believe there is no God. These are simple.
They don't.
If you're not willing to accept Christianity, then you're free to reject it.
If you're not willing to accept it, yeah, you can reject it.
So you believe that you have the free will to do so?
To reject? If you can't accept... Well, okay.
If you're free to accept, you're free to reject, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be true.
Yeah, I don't know how the whole predestination thing works. I obviously believe it's there because it's all over the Bible, but there is somehow there is God's divine will and predestination taking place, and we're also accountable for our actions and our decisions.
Yeah. I think there's some
and
things
everyone that, who's in hell deserves to be there.
Yeah, I think there's some things like the Trinity that you're never going to fully get a grip on.
Yeah.
Because we're three-dimensional beings talking about something that's going on in the 10th dimension. And so it's like, oh, how do we just give them a vague understanding of this? Here's our words that kind of describe what's going on. We can put it in one of their examples. How does a 2D person would call a sphere a circle?
Right.
So it's like, I get it. I mean, it's a circle in the 3D world, but it's different how. We're talking about something in the 10th dimension for the Trinity.
Yeah.
And also for predestination and also being wholly responsible for your sins. Maybe those things seem to be like, oh, there is no truth. There is truth. It's either one or the other. Yeah. It can't be both. But you're going to be held responsible for everything you did in this life.
Yeah. You're going to stand before God and give an account for
it. At the same time, God is absolutely in control of everything.
Yeah. It's very
convenient. And how do you justify that? I don't know.
Yeah. And I've been on both wide ends of that spectrum. I was fully free will when I first heard about Calvinism. I thought it was completely demonic. I thought any predestination doctrine was completely demonic. Then I went full-blown Calvinist, and then now I'm in somewhere where I'm like, I don't know about the predestination, like, is in terms of how these free will and predestination both exist simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because they do, and I don't know exactly how that works, but they do. Because they're both in the Bible.
Yeah. But you can't ignore predestination. It's all over the Bible.
Oh, yeah. So I think...
But there's also phrases that are a little bit... that I wrestle with a little bit that says preordained based on his foreknowledge.
Yeah.
And you'll be like...
That's what Mike Hager was talking about. I think
so it's like,
video.
Is it... Stuff like that will kind of throw you for a loop where... I don't know. Anyway, yeah. That's another rabbit hole.
Well, I'll say this. There's power, like great saints... men of God who believe in predestination. And there are great saints.
I mean, you and me both believe in predestination. But you're saying like full-blown Calvinists.
Yeah, and I think they are, like, they believe that God is the one who completely chose you. And although you chose him, it's ultimately because he chose you. Like, he is the one, like Paul in the desert, like on the road to Damascus. Boom. Like, God choosing you kind of stuff. And I know they're men of God, and they believe the gospel. They believe that you believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. You put your faith and trust in him. And it's like, but they just believe that the fuel for that belief is God giving you that faith versus the free will side of it as I choose to have faith in God. I'm making this free will choice. And I see both people, like the guy who wrote this book, firmly believes in free will. It's like, I know he's a solid Christian and I respect the heck out of that guy. So I think it's something that people, solid Christians, disagree on. And I don't think it should be something that's like, oh, you believe that God is the one who gives you faith. Basically, that's what it comes down to. Faith is either a gift or we choose to have faith. God either gave you faith or you have your own faith. Ultimately, what it comes down to. And I'm not going to say somebody who believes either one of those is going to hell or doesn't believe in Christ.
Yeah. It's a rabbit hole. We could talk about predestination all night.
Yeah, we definitely could. And we've chased a few rabbit holes with our loose cannon.
I think... Both of them can lead to some things that are hairy.
Yes.
And I think more so the free will.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Most people would say predestination leads
to predestination guys are usually all pretty solid on their theology. They're all usually, you know, pretty stable with everything and have good set beliefs and found beliefs. And then some of the crazy, like, other side of it can go down rabbit holes where you're like, where did you get that?
Yeah. Well,
do you find it that way or do you think it's the opposite?
I think
because you got your Presbyterians, they're pretty legit.
Yeah. I think you can make an argument for the opposite. So the argument for the opposite would be you believe in predestination, therefore you think you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but.
And you're not accountable for anything that you've done.
Have you ever met a predestinationist that's.
No, I haven't, but I know that's.
Which is exactly. I've met some crazy free will people.
Yeah.
All the KJV stuff is free will. people.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Well, it depends. A lot of people who are King James only are Calvinists.
Really?
It's one of their most popular translations to use.
Really? That is surprising.
Not that they're King James, like... Well, yeah, they are King James only, so... But I guess you have it all over the map there.
Okay. Never mind then, because that was where a lot of my data points were coming from.
Massive scab I just put on.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. I was like, geez, did Bailey pop a pimple back here?
But what was I talking about? With King James onlyism. Oh, the IFB movement. Big on free will. So they believe that, like, Independent Fundamentalist Baptist. So King James only.
Got a lot of abbreviations going on here.
I want to say maybe it's NIFB that Steven Anderson started. But like that version of King James onlyism, which there's multiple different types of King James onlyist believers, is obviously free will, like 100%. So, or at least I've seen them say James White is, you know, a false teacher going to hell because he believes.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them. I don't have a problem with either one of them, either one of like either side of that. Oh, it's all predestination, it's all free will, until they start calling other people not Christian.
Yes, that's where I have a problem.
And then I'm like, okay, you're taking something, and now you're deciding who is a Christian, who's not a Christian, based off of something that's pretty hard to understand.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And that's where I see the biggest problems with it too. That's where it's very concerning to me. And that's my biggest problem with King James onlyism is it makes non-essential things like the Bible translation that you use, your views on free will versus predestination. And it makes non-essential secondary doctrines, extra-biblical doctrines, like which translation to use. The Bible doesn't tell you which one to use. And they make those barriers to entry for Christianity, and they make them determining factors on who is a Christian and who is really saved.
Yeah.
And that is very demonic.
And I've heard some insane things like, if you don't... I think Steven Anderson was saying this, which should... Anybody who hears this statement should be out on the guy. And if you're not, I don't understand how you couldn't. But that you're not saved unless you're read specifically from the KJV only. Like, yes. I could explain to you the entire gospel, everything that happened, but I didn't direct quote the KJV. You're not a Christian.
Yeah.
I don't care if you accept Christ or anything. You're not a Christian.
Yeah, that's straight up satanic.
Yeah. And to me, anybody who hears somebody say that and then is still in on them, it's like, man, come on.
Yeah. That is.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And yeah, and then if you're on the position, the side that's calling the word of God demonic, you better check yourself. Yeah,
that's also a scary place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The potential for danger there is like so extreme. So extreme.
And the culty way that they go about everything. It really spews like
vibes. That's what cults do, is they take extra biblical doctrines, non-essential secondary. I don't say non-essential. But secondary doctrines, and they make those barriers to entry and determining factors on who's a Christian.
Yeah, and if you're not this, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
It's like,
did you bring
not
your?
If I eat ice cream, what?
Yeah, exactly. The freedom to reject truth is what makes us moral creatures.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I think it also is part of what makes us. Well, yeah, I mean, moral decisions.
Because if you were just a robot who always did the right thing, well, you're not a moral creature. You can't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know? And it would just be you're a plant at that point.
Yeah, and that's where I was trying to say earlier, like the argument from the other side about where predestination goes wrong is where it becomes, we're just a bunch of robots, like... There's no real intimacy with Christ. It's all just like you are a puppet kind of thing. And although I do believe he's completely in control, it's like you can take it so far that there's no responsibility on your end to do what he's called you to do. There's no, like, ultimately I'm not really accountable to God because he's the one who's going to do everything anyway. So,
yeah, I've wondered about things like when people in mainly the Old Testament, I guess New Testament with like miracles and things, but in the Old Testament, like when the people would, God would be going to do something, like he was going to destroy I don't know, a city or a people or something, and then somebody prays on behalf of them and says God changes his mind. I've always wondered about that. Things like that. Where I'm like, but God can't change his mind if he wanted to do.
Is he in control?
Well, he's in control, but I wonder, like, in the Old Testament, like, how that dynamic works, where prayer does something, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, okay, God has preordained everything, so I guess he preordained you to make this prayer so that he could do this, but then it's kind of like, I don't know. Anyway, that whole dynamic kind of throws me off a little.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's kind of a head full.
The last two, contrary truths are possible.
No.
Contrary beliefs are possible.
Yeah.
Right. And I think with going back to the predestination free will thing, because that just kind of seems to be an anchor here. We have contrary beliefs. My views on predestination are probably going to be different from your average Baptist person. So we both have contrary beliefs, ultimately, about how this works, potentially. But there is an absolute truth to the predestination free will topic. But that doesn't mean, just because there's different opinions and beliefs about that topic, that two different things are true at once. Like, there is an absolute truth to that topic. We just may not be able to understand it. But that doesn't mean that there's not an absolute truth to the predestination free will and how it works. But like you were saying, our dimension, our three-dimensional nature, or four-dimensional nature with time, we can't understand that. Potentially.
Maybe we can. Are we 4D beings? We're 4D.
I mean, James White and your Reformed crowd would say they have it exactly figured out.
Yeah.
And your Steven Anderson crowd would say they have it exactly figured out. They know exactly how it works. And James White's going to hell because he thinks he knows how it works and it's different.
Yeah, and I can listen to people on both sides and then be like, "That I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. Ooh, I'm not with you right here and I don't know why." But it's like, you're making a leap.
Yes, there's a point.
There's a point where they both make leaps.
Yes. Based on evidence.
Yeah.
Like, based on scripture. Like, when you hear, like, James White lay out his Reformed theology based on Ephesians 1, Romans 8 through 10, like, key passages of scripture in context using what's called hermeneutics. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I guess
no.
It's just, like, looking at the context of the passage, the context of the epistle or the book, the context of the New Testament. Mm. Like, the close, I think it's, like, proximal context and then, like, broad context and all these different things, how it was meant to be understood at the time.
Oh, that's like originalists with the Constitution.
Yes, and like what that person meant to say, like what they probably believed and what they expected people to react to what they were saying. It's like a much better way of understanding what's being said. And he goes through all of that with these key scriptures. Like, dang, that's a, it seems like a clear cut case.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody like Mike Winger make a video on it and shows other scripture.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, James White didn't address that.
One thing that does attract me to a Mike Winger guy, though, is he's never, a lot of times he'll say, but, you know, I could be wrong on this.
Yes.
He's humble enough to say that on a lot of things.
And he knows a lot.
Yeah, and he is very knowledgeable.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's very refreshing about people.
Yeah.
Like, men of God who know a ton, and they're humble enough to say, well, actually, I'm kind of just a little bit of a stretch here. Like, I don't really know, but this is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I respect that.
And
I
run into the problem with, like, okay, the Calvinist view with something like, well, okay, I was going to say the Presbyterians and baptizing children, that's a stretch to get to there. Like, why they do it. Do you know that?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's a stretch. Okay. But for example, like, oh, children are preordained when, like, if a child dies, an infant dies, or a miscarriage or something, they're preordained either for heaven or hell. And a Calvinist will tell you that's how it works. Like, oh, they're either preordained to go to heaven or preordained to go to hell, and that's it. And they'll say it like it's 100% fact. I'm like, where are you getting that from? Where are you getting this from? You just made that leap of faith because you came up with your way things should work, and then you just applied it to that. And so they'll make a stretch to make that argument. And I'm like, maybe it does, but at least say, but I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say.
Yeah.
At least say something like that, like, but I'm not sure. And that wasn't a shot at you, Reed.
Well, no, with the,
but I'm just saying, for example, that, or like with the child baptisms, is there's a place where they meet somebody in the New Testament. I think one of the apostles does, and he gets saved, and so they baptize him and his family. Mm-hmm. And so they say, oh, well, since he baptized his family, surely he had infants. And they baptize infants who weren't actually saved yet. So
you know they had
we're going to... Yeah, no, they don't. It doesn't say in the
Bible.
Well,
there you go. It's a stretch a little
bit. Oh, it's a huge stretch. But the way Rainbow Press does it is it's just kind of like a commitment
for the community.
Different. Yeah, it's different.
I like that. I mean, I commit this child to God. Like, God, please take care of this child, save this child when they're of age. Like, that's great.
I think that. As long as you're not thinking that somehow your baptism is going to save him.
Is that what some people think, you think?
Yeah. They think you're baptizing them into, like, the body of Christ. I don't know.
Well, the whole infant, like, abortion, do these babies go to heaven or hell, is a whole other ball of wax that we could probably address.
Maybe my opinion on it.
Okay, well,
is that regardless of whether you think preordained or free will or whatever, God operates on a system that he created. And a system is you sin, so you've fallen from grace, and then you recognize yourself as a sinner and you accept Jesus. A miscarriage has never had an opportunity to sin.
Mm.
So I would think they're probably going to heaven.
Yeah.
They've never sinned. What are they going to be judged for?
Well, they're born into sin.
I don't know.
It's tricky, but this is my
They're point. Born into sin nature, yes. But they haven't sinned yet.
Have they?
No.
So I guess when you get
to
the
point...
A
fetus has not sinned.
So you think when it gets to the
point
where...
And David, his son, who dies, he's mourning, he's praying for God to heal his child. He's praying, and it's an infant. So the infant has not accepted Jesus or become like a believer or anything. Jesus isn't even around yet. But the infant hasn't made that leap. And then his son dies and he stops mourning in their life. Why are you happy? Why are you eating now? He says, my son's in heaven. Why would I mourn now?
Well, he says, I will go to him. Which says he was going
to heaven. Basically, whatever it is, it says he's in heaven.
Yeah.
And so, like, somebody like Reed
would
say.
Which David's considered a prophet.
That's what Reed would say. It was prophecy.
Oh, well, that's almost like.
It's just so stretchy.
But basically, I think what he was saying was understanding, like, that God gives you faith to believe. And that you're still accountable to your sin in the absence of Christ, because Christ is the only way to heaven. But God is also just. So it could be the case that they all do go to heaven, but it could also be the case that those who are preordained for heaven will go to heaven and those who were not would not.
I agree with that.
It could be the case. Yeah. I agree. It could be the case.
But I don't think the Bible is crystal clear either way on anything to do with that. And the scriptural evidence would point towards non-predestined one.
Would point that they go to heaven.
Yeah, that they go to heaven is how I view.
Yeah, I do too. But I think
I could die. I could go to heaven, but hey, how does that work? And then I could be like, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, and if we are wrong, God has done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Which it's hard to swallow that pill, but you can't say he's wrong if he is the. He is the definition of what's right.
Yeah.
So whatever he does is right.
Yeah. And Mike Winger says it like this, like he'll talk. We've name dropped him a decent amount.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a big fan of Mike. I'm a big fan of James. So.
I like some of James White's stuff, especially when he gets on. But anyway. Yeah. But anyway, the way he puts it is where he'll say it's like being a toddler and you're trying to run out in the road to play and your parents stop you and they say no and you're mad at them. Like, I wanted to go outside and play, blah, blah, blah. They're saving you from danger. But it's like, how your two-year-old mind to your parent is infinitely closer than our minds to God and our reasoning and what we think is good compared to God, the creator of the universe. We're like a speck. We're an ant. We're nothing. And so... As much as the child can't see why the parents do certain things, why we can't see God, why he's doing things is infinitely more.
Yeah. And I think if like full blown predestination is exactly how it works, like Reformed theology laid out is exactly how it works. If that's the case, then I have to be okay with that. If that's ultimately the case, I have to be okay with a God who predetermines everything, who laid out a perfect plan for how he wanted everything to go, and that's exactly how it goes.
And I think you can't have certain like logical reasoning gets me to how can you have prophecy without everything being predetermined?
Foreknowledge.
How can it even exist?
Oh, how can he make something happen?
Yeah, how can something happen in the future? You see it here, and it's going to work out exactly like this in the future. Like Jesus, for example, coming, dying on the cross, the prophecy about him. How can there be prophecy about him if every little tiny... Think of every minute detail about that. Like, he was pierced, no bones were broken. He was strung up. He was crucified on a cross. All the little minute details that everything had to line up perfect for that to happen exactly how it did. How is it not preordained? It would have to be preordained.
Yeah. Well,
for you to see that in the past and it still happened exactly how you wanted it to, it's like, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I don't think you can look at the crucifixion and resurrection, that entire thing with Jesus, without recognizing that it was all preordained.
Yeah.
All the prophecies being fulfilled about everything that happened.
And even people like our KJV only buddies will say, yeah, he preordains or he predestines certain like big events, but then everything else is kind of left up to free will. What would you say to that?
So the big things don't happen unless the details.
Yeah.
A car doesn't work unless the small parts are designed specifically. So it's like the big things that happen with Christ don't happen unless the small things were intentional.
Yeah.
So I think that's just logically, I don't think that's the case. But I mean, could be. But I don't think that necessarily makes sense. So I don't know. But we are at 1:17 on part two. So we're like 1:45 probably. Hour and 40 minutes.
Jeez. Okay. Is there any more questions?
Okay. Thank you for being on the show, Joe. It's all over the place. A lot of this is going to be cropped out. I'm sure.
Really?
Well, you went on a few rants.
Well, I think you got room to make something happen.
Yeah, we do.
Like maybe you could make it two different episodes or something.
Yeah, maybe so. Probably be a part one, part two.
Or just two different episodes. Because the latter half was completely different than the first part.
Yeah,
you just do all the lesson one episode and then all the question part another episode.
Yeah, we can do that. Do we want to go to Twitter?
If you want.
This is just a simple question. We'll go 5 minutes and then we got to cut it, okay?
Okay.
This person tweeted, pro-life people, how do you work through the hurt of losing friends because of being loud and strong in your activism for being pro-life? So how do you deal with friends who
unfollow you or something?
Yeah, cancel you.
I guess you just don't deal with them. Would you? I would just treat them the same. Still open arms. Still love them. But I mean, if at the end of the day, if they hate you and they won't listen to you, what can you do?
Right.
But I mean, you don't retaliate that with evil.
And he followed up, he said, for context, I've recently been cut off by one of my closest friends and roommates of 2 years because I'm outspoken about being anti-abortion.
Well, I don't know. What would you say about it?
I mean, you know, there's going to be consequences for... You could tell a bunch of people a bunch of lies, different friends, different things, lying about things that you've done to make your relationships better. But if it's built on a lie, then what's the point? So, like, telling the truth is going to have consequences. If you were an abolitionist against slavery, you were going to lose friends. You're going to have people who hated you, massive groups of people who would hate you for being that way. So you've just got to bear your cross and say, I'm going to stand on truth in a loving way, a humble way, and let the consequences happen.
Yeah.
And then this other person tweeted, little sins matter because truth be told, there are no little sins.
Yeah, this is a long topic.
Yeah, well, we won't get into that second question.
Because I think the Bible does it definitely has different punishments for sin in the Old Testament. Like, the law has different punishments for sin because the consequences of different sins is a lot more.
Right.
So I can sin and affect you, or I could do a really small sin, it just really affects me more. Or I can do sin that affects a lot of people, or I can do, you know, like, but in the at the end of the day, if you commit any sin, you're damned for it. So in that sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But in another sense, no.
It all is equal in the sense that it equally separates us from God. But the consequences are not equal, and neither are the punishments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Frank Turek, and I don't know where he gets this, but he says that hell is going to be different for everybody.
Yeah, I want to say that is biblical, but I can't speak that with authority. Yeah. I've heard the same thing, that there's going to be harsher levels. There is. Isn't there Bible verses? It's like, oh, it'll be better for you if you never knew than to have known and denied or something like that.
On the day of judgment.
Yeah. And then things like you'll be judged more harshly and things like that.
As teachers.
Yeah. So don't you think that would imply that somebody who dies having never been shared the gospel and versus somebody who like went out trying to deceive people to hell, that they would be different? It seems to be.
Yeah. It makes logical implied. Sense.
It seems to be implied.
Yeah. I mean.
But so, I don't know if there's a verse that says like, oh, the seventh level of hell or whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Joe, for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Joe is also known as Global Vagrant, where you will find
not
him.
Not anymore, man. I haven't done a video in ages. I actually have one, a repair video on my motorcycle I need to drop soon. But I got to get somebody to model my bike. You know who you are.
Josh.
But, yeah, so I got that one, and then I'm headed down to Oaxaca next month, and I'm going to try to do a video on that.
Sweet. I'm going to do a video on Reed, actually, and his ministry, college ministry. So,
yeah, I was going to do a video on that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. I have some footage of the foreign kids.
But you already do?
Yeah, I had some.
Did you interview him?
No, I was going to do anyway. It's a long story.
Oh, we'll talk
about
it.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, when I do that, I may ask you for some help on some things. But anyway, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for listening to Science, Faith, and Reasoning podcast. Please comment below what you think about truth. Does truth exist? Is it relative or absolute? And please like and subscribe. Thank you.